Can I start?
Please.
I would like to say, my first pick in the draft of gyms, Gold's Gym.
Thank you.
I think that was an excellent creative
Trav, I almost
choice.
Texted you and say, they said you couldn't use it because it was GYM,
right?
I almost said, okay, use Slim Jim.
Slim Jim
would have been
great.
Slim Jim. I would have counted Slim Jim.
You would.
Well, that's the correct spelling, and they couldn't knock that down.
No, I thought Gold's Gym was
I thought it was a very ingenious pick.
We voted for it, and three of us voted to allow it.
Well, we're living in a dictatorship.
By the way, James Cameron goes by Jim.
That's what I said.
Okay, but you just said James Cameron.
But you know what's interesting? There is something to be said for like names like that. For example, you've never heard anyone call Tom Seaver Tommy.
Right.
Right.
But you've never heard anyone call Tommy John Tom.
Tom John?
Yeah.
Tom John.
Yeah.
That sounds weird.
Yeah. By the way,
were you ever a Johnny?
Oh yeah, and he was a Stevie.
I was a Stevie.
When did you transition?
When I got to college.
Okay.
Yeah.
Although some people still call you Johnny I.
Yeah. All my high school friends call me that.
Yeah.
The Morales calls me that.
I know.
You know.
I think his mic.
Is this no good, Jorge?
Sounds okay to me.
Static.
Yeah, all right. All right. Here,
just
make the transition.
You're good. You're good. You're fine.
Stay on this.
Okay.
Right. She's in both.
Okay. Right. So I'm pretty sure.
Stereo.
I'm pretty sure I've told you guys this story. Bergman gets on me all the time because all my stories I repeat. But did I ever tell you the James Garner story from The Notebook?
No, but I like this. Go ahead.
This is one of the great baller moves of all time. I love this story. So I'm friends with Kevin Conley, the actor who played E on Entourage. He's a golf buddy of mine, and so he was in The Notebook.
Okay.
He played Ryan Gosling's best friend in The Notebook. And he told me this story about James Garner, and I just think it is the all-time baller move. So if you haven't seen The Notebook, basically it is a movie that's done in flashbacks. James Garner and Jenna Rollins are an older couple. Jenna Rollins is suffering from dementia, so James Garner goes to the home that she's in and reads to her to make her feel better, but she doesn't, it's her husband, but she doesn't recognize who he is. Mm-hmm. And he reads to her, and every once in a while she'll get a moment of clarity, if you haven't seen The Notebook.
The story,
figures out eventually is that the stories James Garner is reading to her are about them. It's their life.
Yes.
And then Rachel McAdams and Ryan Gosling play the young James Garner and Jenna Rollins. So Conley tells me this story that he's hanging out with Gosling, and Gosling's looking at the script, and he goes, you know, I'm in 90% of these scenes, and James Garner is in 10% of these scenes. So it's more about Gosling and McAdams than it is about Garner and Rollins. And Conley goes, so what's your point? He goes, well, my point is I don't have blue eyes, and Garner has blue eyes, and they just asked me to wear blue contacts. But I'm going to go ask him if he'll wear brown contacts because he's only in 10% of the scenes. So Conley goes, yeah, sounds fair to me. Yeah.
Reasonable.
Yeah. So Gosling, and Conley's watching all this play out, and Gosling walks up to Garner, and he goes, James, he said, and tells the story I just told you guys. I'm in 90% of the scenes. You're in 10%. You have blue eyes. They asked me to wear blue contacts. I'm thinking we should flip this. You wear brown contacts. Everything's in. And without even making eye contact with him, Garner looks, you know, he's like reading something. He goes, kid, everybody knows Garner has blue eyes. And he gets up and walks out. And Gosling goes,
that's awesome.
Okay, then.
That's
guess
awesome.
I'm wearing contacts.
That's movie star you know what.
Right.
That is awesome.
Everybody knows Garner has blue eyes. And Gosling goes, well, that's the end of that.
Right. I was managed by Jim Garner's nutty daughter for a while.
Were you really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was a manager and a jewelry maker.
Okay.
No wonder I got nowhere. But James Garner had dinner with him, sweetest man in the world.
So, since we're telling Jim Garner stories, I have one.
Mm.
My mom grew up on the west side of town. My mom grew up in Brentwood Pacific Palisades over there. That's where Jim Garner lived.
Okay.
They were friends with the Garners, and they used to go ride horses on the Garners' property when
ranch
they would do it. Ranch or whatever it is. So when my mom and dad started dating in college, they my dad was a basketball player at the University of Oregon, and they came down to play UCLA and SC. And my mom was going to introduce my dad to her folks. And they were going to meet and go swimming at the Lancasters. Okay.
Burt Lancaster?
My dad goes, oh, you mean like Burt Lancaster? And my mom goes, yes.
Wow. And your dad's they went swimming
at the Lancaster's house because that's the neighborhood that they lived in. And that is how my mom and dad went to Burt Lancaster's house to go swimming.
Okay, so here, Burt Lancaster, really big swimmer.
Yeah.
Loved to swim. In fact, he made a movie called The Swimmer where he plays this guy in Los Angeles whose goal it is to swim in every pool in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
So he was, I mean, he was all in on swimming. I always think of Archie Moonlight Graham before anything.
I do too.
Me too.
Yeah,
me
because
too.
He's so good in that role.
And when Burt Lancaster was like the biggest movie star in Hollywood, it was the 50s.
Right.
I wasn't born until 1971.
But when he played Archie Graham in Field of Dreams, he just nailed it.
Yeah, so
awesome.
Good.
Awesome.
So good.
You threw me off a little bit yesterday,
Mace.
So,
I think we
went and did our Olive Garden meal yesterday.
Oh, yeah, Olive Garden, sure.
So, we got... We finished the meal about 3:30. It took me a very long time to get home.
That's
yesterday.
A weird time to eat. And were you like the only people in there?
It was
half full.
Yeah, but the big crowd comes at 4. The seniors come at 4.
We were
2 o'clock. We were probably by like 1:45 we were there.
Yeah. So I get back in the car at 3:30, and I'm making my trip back home. It's a couple-hour drive at that time. So I get home, and I try not to look at my phone when I'm driving.
Right, yeah.
And sometimes I'm successful, sometimes I'm not. Yesterday I was.
Good.
So I get home, and I take my phone out of the cup holder, and I look at it, and there's a text from you.
Okay, what does it say?
Well, let me, a little background. You and I are friends. We've known each other for long, but we don't trade a ton of texts.
No, we don't, actually.
Okay?
Yeah.
So when I got a text from you, I'm like...
It was a pretty random text.
Oh, crap. Something's going on. Like, I thought...
Did Mace get arrested in Orange County?
Yeah, I thought something was up. Like, something that... Maybe it was a question, or you were in Orange County. Something. I'm like, oh, crap. Mace texted me.
Yeah.
It was about the Rams defensive coordinator.
Yeah, no. Because what happened was, Miami fired Vic Fangio, and Raheem Morris could potentially get in. So I texted Travis and said, well... Vic Fangio would be a great defensive coordinator if we lost Raheem Morris.
No. He's going to go
correct.
To the Eagles.
Now we find out he's going to the Eagles. But yesterday, he had just been let go.
You caught me by surprise. And I was happy.
I'm going to start sending you random.
I hope so.
Basically said, he feels like you guys are closer today than you guys were 24 hours ago.
Feel good.
We really connected over Vic Fangio.
Yeah, well, Steve Mason pops up. I'm like, what's going on? Because when you text during the show, doesn't catch me by surprise.
Right,
you text during the show occasionally. But like, John, you will send me golf stuff occasionally.
Right.
And so when you pop up, not a huge surprise.
Yeah.
I thought something terrible had
happened. What's weird is, what kind of car are you driving these days?
My Silverado.
Which is how old?
It's new.
You just got it, right?
So it doesn't have Apple CarPlay?
It does, but I'm a visual person.
Right.
Like the listening
but
to it.
But if it comes up on your screen, you just tap it.
I tap cancel because I don't have the impulse control to not respond to it.
Oh, but you know you can respond to it verbally.
I know, but I don't like that.
Does anybody ever put on their silent notifications, leave me alone?
I don't.
Laura does, apparently.
Laura does.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who.
Carlo does.
Carlo does it a lot.
Yeah. Carlo Saitsu does?
Yeah.
Oh, his notifications are always silent when I send
silent
a text.
Mode.
Yeah.
He always gets right back to me.
Me too, but you always get that his notifications are silent. I guess you can like kind of break through or whatever if you want. I don't know.
I sent him that same Vic Fangio text yesterday, and the silence was notified.
You talked to him about Vic Fangio, too.
You guys still bonding.
You apparently were really desperate to talk to somebody about Vic.
Vic Fangio, a lot of pub on the show today.
Yeah.
I don't think Raheem Morris is going to wind up getting one of those
jobs.
What's
bad news for Raheem Morris is good. Raheem Morris is good news for Rams fans.
Yeah.
That if they get to keep him for another season, it sucks that he didn't get a job. If that, in fact, it goes that way,
right?
But it's good news
for
the Rams.
Which jobs are open? The Seattle job.
Atlanta.
Okay, so did you guys hear the latest rumor about Seattle about who they're looking at for offensive coordinator? Chip Kelly.
Oh, wow.
As a Bruin fan, do you like that?
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Chip wants to be here.
Yeah.
I mean, he's never happy. He's, you know, just a curmudgeon. They won't give him any NIL money, so he can't compete. I think it'd be great for him to go be the offensive coordinator. So, and I mean,
his NFL.
Dan Lynn was a huge breakthrough young offensive coordinator.
Yeah, he was a Trojan.
USC just came in and said, what are they paying you? All right, we'll double it.
Yeah.
You know, come on over.
Well, the weird thing about Seattle's job, and I'm curious to see what they do now, is they say they want to maintain the positive culture that was established by Pete. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure that Chip fits that
but
mold.
He won't be the head coach. Dan Quinn would be the head coach.
Right. Oh, is Dan Quinn getting the job?
Looks like it.
Oh, okay.
But nothing if it...
And Dan Quinn worked under Pete in Seattle. Oh, yeah,
Chip Kelly's NFL resume is not great.
But as the head coach.
As the head coach.
But as an offensive coordinator, he's almost perfect. Because all he is...
Has he coordinated in the NFL?
No,
I know he's been other places, in like at Oregon.
When he was at Philadelphia coaching the Eagles, he would call all the plays, obviously. And he was like the first guy to use those signs on the field and go no huddle. And, you know, I think...
Although, when was the last time Chip Kelly was truly relevant in terms of offense?
He was an innovator that didn't innovate after he innovated.
He was
an innovator.
If that
makes sense.
Oregon was probably the last time.
That offense.
Everybody wanted Chip Kelly at some point.
When he ran that offense at Oregon, no one else was doing it. Super fast pace, lean, quick, athletic lineman. We're going to run you off the field.
Yep.
Now everybody does
that. Yeah, that's the game.
Apparently, NFL Schefter's reporting that the Panthers job is going to be filled by a guy named Dave Canales, who was the Buccaneers offensive coordinator. So that takes that job down.
Right.
It. By the way, guys, that leaves Atlanta and Seattle. Is there any more?
No. Vegas is filled. LA is filled. Tennessee is filled.
DC.
And the Commanders.
So there are three. Yeah. Is it possible Belichick doesn't get a job?
He's interviewed.
Seems like Atlanta.
He's interviewed with Atlanta now.
By the way, okay, let's talk about that
twice.
For a second. Why did you have to interview Bill Belichick a second time? What the hell do you not know about Bill Belichick?
Are you sure it's Belichick not interviewing Atlanta?
Okay, bring him in, get to know him, interview
him. You're trying to impress him. I don't think...
He wanted a second interview?
No, in other words, Arthur Blank flies him to, I don't know, Jamaica or somewhere down there on his super yacht because he wants to impress him, right?
Sure.
I think that multiple teams might be interested in Bill Belichick and what Arthur Blank is doing. Let's give you the best experience you can have in terms of interviewing.
Plus, the other thing is, Trav, there. Keep in mind about levels of management. So when I got a job at KCBS KCAL, I came up here and I met with the news director.
Sure.
And the executive producer of sports. And I cleared that bar.
Sure.
And they said, okay. They called me the next day, and I thought the phones were going to go, oh, they're going to offer me this job. Mm-hmm. They go, okay, we need you to come back up here and meet the news director and the GM. So I came back up. I met the news director. The GM wasn't in that day. They said, when can you come back and meet the GM?
Right.
So I had to check.
I get it.
Certain boxes.
I get it.
By the third time, then I was good.
I get that. But if you had Al Michaels' resume, you're not going through four layers of interviews.
Right, but see what I'm saying? The interview is in reverse.
That's an interesting way to look at it, because if you just show up with Bill Belichick's resume, I'm interviewing you.
Correct.
You don't get to call me back for a second one.
Correct.
I'll let you know if I want it or
exactly.
Not.
Exactly.
Trav, I disagree with you. I don't think Bill Belichick is necessarily a slam dunk.
Like, absolutely not.
Like, since Tom Brady left, there's tons of questions
I
need to ask
29
him.
And 36.
I get this it.
Plus his age, too.
Mace,
71, 72.
To? You know, there are certain actors who don't want to read for parts.
Sure, sure.
But if you're like Scorsese or if you're like James Cameron, you have to.
Yeah.
But
know,
the Falcons aren't Scorsese or Cameron. They're the Falcons. They're a mid-level director at best. And maybe Bill Belichick's resume, not even maybe, Bill Belichick's resume without Tom Brady is mid at best. He's still Bill Belichick. He still has a fistful of rings. And I'm not reading for your supporting part. You can either have me star in this movie or not, but
right.
I'm not coming in here and dancing for you.
All right. So somebody just sent me a text that says there is a split between Blank and the staff over Belichick. They don't want him. Blank does.
Mm.
So his GM and all of his...
Guess who's going to win that?
Yeah.
Blank.
But I would not want Bill Belichick.
No, that's a different conversation.
I would not be in the Bill Belichick business.
Nor I wouldn't want to do it either, but that to me feels like a different conversation.
Right.
Because whether he's the right fit or not, sure. But I'm Bill Belichick. It's Robert De Niro walking in for a part. Do you want this or not?
Right.
Is Robert De Niro the guy who was in Raging Bull? No. Right. But it's still Robert De Niro.
Well, and the other question is, how long is he going to do it? I mean, 72, yeah. How long is he going to do it? Now, in the case of Pete Carroll, who's also 72, in my head, and he's not on the radar for anybody, but in
that's
my
shocking
head,
to me, by the way.
The idea would be Pete Carroll with some assistant who he sort of grooms to
take over,
right? Bill Belichick has never had success with his assistants being able to carry on in other
locations.
As a
matter of fact, it is a long list of failures people that were Belichick assistants. None of them have ever been any good.
And 72 is not 70. There's Bill Belichick, 72. Pete Carroll looks like he's 52.
Oh, yeah.
He acts like he's 52. He's just got this incredible vitality to him. I love that the Chargers hired Harbaugh. It's a grand slam, but I still would have taken Pete Carroll
over Harbaugh
by this much. Like, I have no complaints about Harbaugh at all.
We were on a grand slam.
Right before we were going into crosstalk.
You happy about it, Slee? You excited for the Chargers?
Not at all.
It's the right hire.
It's a great hire.
It's
a no-brainer.
By the way, and my position has evolved. I went home last night, had a long conversation, talked to some Rams fans, sent you a text about Vic Fangio, and I John will continue to root against the Chargers every single week.
Not me either. I think it'd be
this
great.
This is Rams house.
It'd be great for the city.
But as a Raider fan,
I'm okay with it. Raiders are secure. I mean, they're
secure in what way?
They have more.
They're
fans.
The Raiders.
They have
more fans than the Los Angeles Rams. Yeah. It's like they haven't been competitive.
You already
in a very
have KC
time.
To worry about.
But Raider fans don't. Jump ship.
John, you co-signed
Wait a minute. You jumped ship when they traded Khalil Mack. You came on the air and said, I'm no longer a Raiders fan.
Yeah, but I never jumped to another team.
And you went back to the Raiders.
Yeah, I did.
Once you're a Raider, it's a lifetime sentence.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Literally figured.
But the Raiders, I mean, people don't know this, but back when I was working at KCBS KCAL, we'd look at all the ratings. Raider games rate higher than Rams or Charger games.
I'm not surprised.
There's no question. There are a ton of Raider fans here.
It's going to take a long time for that to change.
Yeah.
A really long time for that to change. Super Crosstalks brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out, that's what a hamburger is all about.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ah!
Hey, there you go, Laura.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Did you make a random sound today, or did you actually growl?
I growled.
You ran out of animal noises you could make.
No. I just want to throw a curveball.
All right. Good. So you did a growl. Laura in for Brian today, she's doing double duty.
Yeah.
And tonight, Lakers Bulls, the last game, Mace, before the Grammy trip. That's one.
One.
There you go. Grammy trip.
Laura, if you can write a one down.
When are the Grammys?
I don't know. While we're gone. My guess is not this weekend, but the next weekend.
I think of the Grammys. Yeah.
Well, see, so what happens is they kick all three tenants of Crypto.com Arena out during the Grammys. So the Kings are on the road, Lakers on the road, Clippers on the road for better part of 2 weeks.
So let's take a moment. It is BBGO Fifth Row Fridays this week.
Okay.
That means, and somebody was going back and listening to the Monday podcast because they could not figure out what might be on the quiz on Friday. That may be what you have to do to be able to do your homework to win fifth row seats to see the Lakers versus Narlins February 9. Friday, there will be a 5-question quiz. It will be one question from each show this week. And if you can answer all five, you're in the fifth row from BBGO, the official game day snack of the Los Angeles Lakers.
And because of that particular date, February 9th, it could be, if the Lakers make a trade, you think they're going to.
I do.
I think they probably will do something. The trade deadline is February 8th. So that could be the first game of whatever the new look Lakers are.
The remodeled Los Angeles Lakers.
If they make a trade.
Yeah, they're definitely making a trade. There's no way they stand pat.
The big news when we left here yesterday is that Jim Harbaugh is the new coach of the Chargers. Yeah. We have since found out it's a five-year deal.
Do we know how much? I got to believe it's $100 million. That would make him the highest paid coach in the league. Belichick got paid $20 million last year.
So it would be as much as Belichick. Yeah. Yeah.
Tied for the all-time highest salary for an NFL head coach. Yeah. Can you imagine 5 years, $100 million? My God.
Yeah, remember Gruden got 10 years... $100 million. So that was 10 a year.
Yes.
And in what was that? 5 years
right,
ago?
And Harbaugh is going to double it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wrong business.
The Harbaugh thing, I respect the hire. I'm still going to root against the Chargers like crazy. I'm a Rams fan, and I don't want to share shelf space with the San Diego Chargers. They'll always be the San Diego Chargers to me. But I'm not gonna roll with the Chargers. I certainly respect what they did. I love Justin Herbert. I think he's one of the top seven or eight quarterbacks in the league. I think they got a chance. If they weren't in that division, I'd say they're going to the playoffs. But I think Denver's on the come, and I think that Kansas City is obviously there every year, so it's a very tough division. But they got a shot to make the playoffs. They got a shot.
So I've been hearing a lot in the national news and all over online that they just need to – the first thing that they focus on is just winning the division. Do you actually agree with that? I feel like when you have the team that you have – and you have now Jim Harbaugh, just winning the division is not enough.
And by the way, I don't think anybody pays any attention to divisions.
Well, exactly. it's better to be a division winner than a wild card. If you're a division winner, you might not play wild card weekend. Sure.
No, you don't play on wild card weekend unless you are the one in either one. So you have to
win the entire division.
That's winning the entire conference.
Right. You don't.
Otherwise, you're on wild card weekend.
But the only team that's a one is a team that wins their division.
You have to win a division and the conference.
Correct. Yes.
Very best play. You're most likely going to play on wild card weekend.
Well, I mean, in fairness, looking at, I don't know, ESPN and all this, they're all like Chargers are Super Bowl contenders. I'm like, hold your horses.
Well, but is it like, so what do you think Jim Harbaugh has to do in year one? What are they reaching for?
I think he's got a house money right now. I think a playoff spot is a great.
I think double-digit wins and is what's expected.
And a playoff spot.
I think one equals the other.
Yeah, it does.
But if he doesn't win the division with Patrick Mahomes, are you going to be like, oh, it's a failure?
No.
But he made the playoffs.
It's whether he makes the playoffs or not.
Yeah.
That's the breaking point, I think, for year one. It would be a huge disappointment if the Chargers don't make the playoffs.
Right. I don't care about the division in the slightest if I'm a Charger fan.
Personally. Yeah. Yeah. I guess it doesn't matter unless you're going to be the one. Yeah. And I think in that division, you play Patrick Mahomes twice. You play Denver twice. Sean Payton's got them going in the right direction. Although you do get the Raiders twice. No one?
Wait a minute. What does that mean?
Well, you get the Raiders twice. That's their advantage.
The Raiders beat the Chargers by like 50
points.
That's
pre-Harbaugh.
All right.
Yeah, pre-Harbaugh.
Split every year. Chargers and Raiders split all the time. It's rivalry. They split.
Yeah, is that still
throw out the record?
Is that still a big rivalry? Chargers. It is for you. Is it for everybody?
I think the Raiders Chargers is a very big rivalry. Yeah, you are still very close to each other. Raiders fans fill up that stadium. Fill it up.
Raider fans travel really well.
Yeah. They don't fill up their own stadium.
That's a rivalry.
They fill up their road stadium.
Yep.
Home, they don't get really a home. It's home, Vegas. It's like the...
Complicated, huh, Greg?
Home, it's like the Rams. The other team shows out.
Yeah. Well, at least you're finally admitting it.
Well, no, I've always admitted it. I said that's one of the reasons why it's fun to go to a Rams game. Because it's a big split. All right, so here's one nugget that I wanted to throw out there. By the way, Michael Thompson, Pepe Minti, is today Potpourri of Lies?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm excited. Potpourri of Lies. Some of the questions are right, and some of them are wrong.
The horse.
All right, so Jovan Buha from The Athletic says this.
From my understanding, DeJounte Murray is the Lakers' priority right now. To me, he'd be the most likely trade outcome if I was handicapping the odds. I think they're the favorites to land him. Again, the big hurdle is finding a third team that wants D'Angelo Russell.
Which surprises me because Russell's playing so well.
Yeah, he's isn't he a little redundant in Atlanta since they've got Trae Young?
Yes, but...
And they also are trying to melt that thing down.
Yeah.
They're not trying to win.
But I'm thinking of all the places that Russell could help.
And, oh, sure.
And there are a bunch of this team we're playing tonight. Right? I mean, Zach LaVine's hurt all the time.
Yes.
I mean, but most places, Russell could help. It's just a matter of, do you want to take on 2 years of his salary?
Right.
He makes $18, $19 million this year, and he's got a player option for next year.
Yeah, because he's the opportunity to pick up the option.
Again, I'm a big D'Lo fan. D'Lo and Austin are kind of my guys on the team. I would think long and hard about not trading D'Lo, but like I told you, Mace, with a record of 22 and 23, I think you have to let Rob do his job.
Oh, yeah, no question.
If the Lakers...
And he's not there to make friends.
Yeah, if the Lakers had the Clippers record... then you could make a strong argument not to make any changes. But
right.
With this record, you can't make that argument.
I agree.
So let's see what happens.
Hey, John, where are you guys going tomorrow?
On the Grammy trip?
Yeah.
Oh!
Two. My goal is to hit 10.
Scoring. If you're scoring at home,
digits.
That is two. All right. Coming up next for you, is there a massive NFL conspiracy? There's lots of evidence out there that maybe this thing is scripted. We'll do that coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Uh-oh. So what's going on, people? It is Thursday, and that means we are joined by Michelle Smallman every single week. She's from our morning show on Sportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle. Michelle is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's the largest and number one daily fantasy sports platform in North America. New members go to prizepicks.com/710. Use code 710 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. Michelle, how you doing?
I am doing well, guys. Thank you for having me. How are you?
Sure, Michelle. Okay, so here's my bet for this weekend. Mason and I both made bets on the NFL games for this weekend. Tell me if you like this bet. I did a parlay. And I took both road teams. And here's why. I like the fact that the Lions are getting 7. And I think the Ravens-Chiefs game is a coin flip. And by taking the Chiefs, I get 3.5. So that's why I'm doing it. What do you think?
So I could maybe roll with you on the Lions. And I might be foolish in this one. I think the Ravens are going to beat Kansas City, and I don't know if it's going to be particularly close.
Why do you think that?
I think the Ravens are going to destroy them. So the Bills should have beaten them last week, and the Bills lost that game more than I think the Chiefs won that game. And I know that it's so foolish of me to bet against Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is 13-3 in his playoff career. He makes magic happen all the time. But I think top to bottom, this Ravens team is better than this Chiefs team. And including the playoffs, the Ravens are 6-0 against opponents that entered the game at least 3 games over .500 this season. And they won those games handily by an average of 26.2 points per game. So they're dominating good teams this season, including the playoffs.
By the way, Kansas City obviously did beat Buffalo. A lot of people are blaming Josh Allen for that loss. How do you feel about Josh Allen and his performance in that game?
I hate that conversation. I know that we have to have it, but I feel so badly for Josh Allen because he played really, really well in that game. Down the stretch there, would he like those 2 incompletions back? Of course. But there were so many other moments that contributed to that loss. The missed field goal, the dropped pass by Diggs. He played really well. But unfortunately for Josh Allen, because of his talent, people want to assign him on a certain level. And until he breaks through and beats Patrick Mahomes, until he breaks through and gets to a Super Bowl, people are going to want to negate what he's done and negate his talent and say that he's not good enough. So even though down the stretch there, he had a chance to score the touchdown and put them ahead, and he didn't capitalize, I do not think it's his fault that they lost the game.
Doesn't the same go for Lamar Jackson? You said everything is blamed on Josh Allen. I think that there's nobody with more pressure on them this week than Lamar Jackson.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think there's so much pressure on Lamar, which is kind of crazy considering he is going to presumably win his second MVP. He has been playing great. He is the reason why the Ravens are in this position. He's such a dynamic player. But unfortunately for Lamar, people don't want to give him the credit that he deserves. I think it's crazy, but because of the style of play, people always want to assign it to something else and say it's not Lamar. But I think not only because of that does Lamar have a lot of pressure, but I forecast to next season, and I think about how tough the AFC is going to be next year. And if you can't get it this season, it's only going to be harder for you next year. Mahomes isn't going anywhere. Josh Allen and the Bills will probably be right there. Joe Burrow is getting healthy again. Maybe now with Jim Harbaugh, the Chargers take a step forward. Is Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars going to hopefully return back to form a little bit? Oh, yeah. I don't know if I mentioned Joe Burrow's back, hopefully, and getting healthy. C.J. Stroud has arrived. There's just going to be, maybe Aaron Rodgers and the Jets somehow figure it out, even though that's unlikely because it's the Jets. But I just think the path is going to be much harder for him next year. And if he doesn't capitalize on it now, he may be regretting it.
We're talking to Michelle Smallman from our morning show. And Michelle, you look at sports from a national perspective. We just kind of concentrate on L.A. This Harbaugh news out here is a really big deal. The Chargers are a team that kind of plays in the shadow of the Rams and the Raiders. They've never been able to get it right. Their owners have a horrible reputation. And now all of that has flipped. People think that with the arrival of Jim Harbaugh, it's all going to change. On the national level, from where you sit, is this Harbaugh hiring a big deal, a little deal, or no deal? They're always going to be the Chargers.
I think it's a massive deal, an absolutely massive deal. I've been really critical of the Chargers. I say that they are meh personified because, to your point, we never talk about them.
Right.
They're in the second biggest market in the country, and we don't talk about them. They have a franchise quarterback in Justin Herbert. I know he was injured this season, but we don't talk about them. Jim Harbaugh is a polarizing figure. He's a celebrity in his own right. He is a coach that gets things turned around quickly, and he is a coach that finds success. Wherever he went, we were going to talk about him. And I think the Chargers, an organization that historically doesn't spend the money, who maybe might be more reactive when it comes to firing a coach than proactive, who doesn't go out and get the big fish. They did the right thing here. They went out, they got the best guy on the market. They got a guy who historically has never failed when it comes to turning programs around, and he brings them much-needed relevancy. I also give them a lot of credit because when you have a talent like Justin Herbert, you have a finite amount of time to capitalize on that window that you have your franchise quarterback. And watching him, he's one of those guys that has so much talent, and he's really, really good, and you think he can take that next step. And with Harbaugh at his side, they can become one of the most relevant teams in the NFL. I just really picture them being the quarterback head coach tandem that we talk about all the time. So kudos to the Chargers for getting it done. Are you guys going to talk about them more now in LA now that Harbaugh's
there? I'm not. I don't intend to change any. Yeah. This is Rams house. I am a Rams fan. I'm irritated that they got it right.
Yeah, what we do, Michelle, is we wait till Mason goes on vacation because he takes a lot of vacation, and then we just talk about the Chargers then.
So stay tuned, LA. Stay tuned for that. Hey, Michelle, thanks a lot for coming. Oh, by the way, Super Bowl matchup will be?
I think it's going to be the 49ers and the Ravens. And didn't we see that graphic that came out that says whatever the colors are and the logo? That
yeah, we're going to talk. We've been talking about the script. The script seems to be out there right now. We will talk to you on. Will we talk to you next week? I'm not sure. We wait till Super Bowl week?
Well, I'm around if you want to talk.
All right.
We'll figure it out.
Okay. Hey, Michelle. Have a great weekend. Thanks for coming on. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle every morning. All right.
All right. So coming up, Wheel of Questions, and then we'll get to this conspiracy theory, because as you know, I believe in all conspiracy theories.
I believe in this one. We'll do it coming up. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey, life is a journey with highs and lows. And the LA County Department of Mental Health is there to support you through it all. Their caring team offers more than just a listening ear. They provide free emotional support, service referrals, and crisis counseling. Call their 24/7 helpline, 800-854-7771, or visit their website at dmh.lacounty.gov. Your mental health is their priority. Let them support you on this journey. Together, let's shape a brighter tomorrow. Hope, recovery, and well-being. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. No, I don't.
All right.
I need like 10 questions coming up the next week or so, because you're going on the...
That's right.
What are you going on?
The Grammy trip. There that's three.
There's three. I wanted to set you up.
And, well, wait. Before we do this wheel of questions, hit the music, Laura. Michael and Pepe are both here. Let's bring them in.
There we go. Michael Thompson rolling into the studio.
I was coming in. Pepe was waiting for Greg to give him permission.
Oh, is that right?
No, no, no. Pepe's in. No.
Did he get the
Pepe
green light?
Actually did sit there, point to me, and I was like, yeah,
he
go,
did.
Go.
He did ask.
You're free to go
Pepe
in there.
Pepe is riding in on his the horse, getting ready for a big service Titan shoot-around.
So here's the question, and Michael and Pepe can weigh in on it too. You guys know who Emma Stone is,
of
right?
Course,
the actress.
Yeah.
Yes, love
very
her.
Good actress. She is addicted to Jeopardy. She watches Jeopardy every night.
Okay.
Who is it?
So she says she wants to go on the show.
Yeah, right.
But she does not want to go on the Celebrity Edition. She wants to go on the real show.
A real player, yeah.
And compete for real.
Yep.
So Ken Jennings came out and said, look, we would love to have her, but I can't give her any special treatment. She's got to go through, jump through the same hoops that all regular contestants do if she wants to get on the show. I would maintain that she's Emma Stone and you're an entertainment product. You're a TV show.
Okay.
If she wants to compete in normal Jeopardy, why wouldn't you have her compete? So here's my question for the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Should Emma Stone have to jump through the same hoops as everyone else, or should they just give her one of the three spots?
Michael?
No, of course not. Let her get in there. She is a big-time celebrity, world-known. It's like if you were waiting online to go to Maestro's for dinner, and you were told it was going to be a 40-minute wait, and then all of a sudden Kim shows up, or Chloe, or Julia Roberts. They're going to go ahead of you.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to understand that.
What do you think? Should Emma Stone have to go through the same process as everybody else to get on Jeopardy, or are you with me? Just let her in. By the way, if she crashes and burns, she crashes and burns. But I think everybody would watch, wouldn't they?
Let her go. I mean, she's Emma Stone.
Right. Okay? Mm-hmm. Right. Bergman, what do you think?
100% against all
me
of
too.
You right now.
By the way, me too.
Oh, good.
We
good,
have run into
tell
this
me,
situation.
Greg,
rules
Greg,
and regulations.
Tell me
contest
why.
Rules.
Why? Because she has to go through the same thing that everybody else. If I'm not sure,
who
but I think
are
there's
you,
a
the
long
game show.
No,
police?
No. What? I think there is a long process that guys are people are waiting a long time to get onto
no,
Jeopardy.
They're not Emma Stone.
Right. It doesn't matter.
But here's the thing.
Hold on, wait a minute,
Laura. What about you?
Before you jump in, Laura, are you with me or are you with Greg?
I'm kind of a house divided here because
pick a side.
Espérate. If she wants to be treated like every normal contestant, she should go through all the same hoops. Now, is she? Probably not, because that's what they're going to say to show face. So they're just going to let her jump the line. But I do think she should if she wants to go the normal quote-unquote.
All right, Mace, why do you think she should not get special treatment?
Well, we've run into this a number of times here on the station. There need to be public rules and regulations that guide us, because otherwise jumping the line can violate your own terms of service, your own rules.
Wait a minute, though. We do that because we don't want to lose our FCC license. This is a
We don't do that because we don't want to be sued,
Right, this is a friggin' game show.
Yeah. Right, but still,
it's a TV show.
Do you not think there are rules for this? That there are
rules
to get in? No, you can't let somebody fast track to the front of the line.
And I don't like Kim jumping the line in my restaurant in front of me. Absolutely not.
By the way, she would jump the restaurant.
100%
she would. Fine, she would. I would still be pissed off.
When Mason and I saw Kate Beckinsale at Craig, she did not wait.
No,
100%. She walked in and walked up to whatever table she wanted.
If you had a restaurant and LeBron and Michael Jordan and Michael Jordan and Magic showed up, and you would make them wait?
No, I would not, but I'm also not on TV.
No, but Greg, this happened in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Giannis went into a California pizza kitchen with his family. They said, you have to wait for 20 minutes. He left. Would you have made Giannis wait because rules are rules?
No, absolutely not, because he'd leave you a $10,000 tip.
Yeah, so what's the difference between that and Emma Stone?
No, on a game show that people are waiting for years sometimes have to jump over everybody. And also, how do I know that she is really this good?
Oh, she is really that good.
I'm sure she's
She's won on Celebrity Jeopardy
Can we meet in the middle? Let's have Emma Stone go on Celebrity Jeopardy. No. She wins three.
She doesn't
want
to go on Celebrity Jeopardy. Well,
I don't care what she do Celebrity Jeopardy.
I don't care what she wants.
She has to win it and destroy all three of them. And then she moves on.
What do you think the viewing audience wants to see? Marge from Cincinnati, Bertram from Ohio, or Emma Stone?
Marge is pretty smart.
She is smart.
But she's not Emma Stone. Marge, take a hike. Right.
Did you know Ken Jennings before? Did you know James Holzhauser before? He was a nobody.
Bergman.
And they just smart, and it was amazing.
Let me tell you why Jeopardy is in the business of doing. Getting ratings. Yeah, the more ratings they get, the more money everybody makes. It is a business of commerce.
Yes. And what
exactly.
What if she's like negative $20,000?
Then she's negative $20,000. She made her bed.
Some guy's watching me like,
Pepe,
that's
good
garbage.
TV. Good TV.
Pepe, that's not good TV. Pepe, get in here.
You know how many more people are going to watch because Emma Stone is going to be there? Even people that don't watch Jeopardy, they said next week Emma Stone is going to be in Jeopardy. They'll watch.
Yeah,
I bet you it doesn't happen that way. Okay. I bet you people do
that
not.
That would be the
watch.
Highest rated Jeopardy.
No way.
Here's a little nugget. She applies every June to be on Jeopardy and has not done well enough on the testing and all that stuff to get on the show.
Well,
so does that change anything?
No, I still want to watch.
Yeah,
you want to watch her crash and burn minus 100,000?
Exactly. Like Cliff Clavin.
Like, yeah, right. Like, who is somebody who's never been in my kitchen?
Emma Stone says, I apply every June. I don't want to go on Celebrity Jeopardy. I want to earn my stripes. You can only take the test once a year with your email address, and I've never gotten on the show. I watch it every single night. I mark down how many answers I get right. I swear I could go on Jeopardy, and yet she's not passing on the test. Do we have breaking news?
We do have breaking news, and this is actually very big breaking news.
Oh, wow. Really?
So according to Adam Schefter, the Falcons plan to hire Rams defensive coordinator Raheem Morris as their head coach.
Whoa.
That means no Bill Belichick.
Wait a minute. Hold on. The Commander's job is still open, and the Seahawks job is still open. Well, he's not a candidate for the Seahawks job, but he's a candidate for the
Raheem Morris
job.
Is going to be a head coach
again.
Well,
good for him.
Yes, good for him.
He's earned it.
Bill Belichick was rumored to be going to the Falcons.
All right, Mace, let me ask you this.
Really happy for Raheem Morris.
Yeah, I'm too. He's a good dude. Mace, so the story with Belichick is his dad was a coach at the Naval Academy
right.
in Annapolis, which is where Bill grew up, which is right around the corner from where the Commanders are talking about building a new stadium. So that would fit. The issue is, would the Commanders' new owners, Josh Harris, Magic Johnson, Michael's in this group, would they want Belichick? Because if you hire him, you kind of got to give him the keys to the franchise.
Totally.
You can't. This was the Phil Jackson argument. That remember when Phil left the Lakers and Mike Brown flamed out and it looked like Jim Buss was going to bring Phil back?
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I'm told that it didn't happen was Dr. Buss said, well, if you hire Phil, he said to Mitch and Jim, if you hire Phil, you know, you got to give him the keys. Yeah, you guys become obsolete because Phil becomes the face of your franchise. And then they went and hired Mike D'Antoni. If you hire Belichick in D.C. with this new ownership group, the new ownership group is
Just say, I don't think Bill Belichick is going to come away with a head coaching job this year. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Well, there's only two left, right?
Shula.
Yeah,
there's only Seattle and Washington.
Now, here's the nugget with Washington, and you guys know this. Magic John, that whole ownership group in Washington hired Bob Myers to conduct the search for new front office and new head coach and all that stuff.
Progressive,
I think they
will. Old school.
Do you think he went there? Did Bob went there to just hire Bill Belichick?
No,
I just don't think that.
I also
the way
think
it's
if
go down.
Bill Belichick is available, you have to consider.
A lot
it.
Of people passing. A lot
right.
of people hard pass on Bill.
By the way, okay, so the Panthers hired Dave Canales. The Raiders hired Antonio Pierce. The Titans hired Brian Callahan.
Mm-hmm.
Patriots are a non-factor here. And now Atlanta hires Raheem Morris.
Yep.
You guys would rather have those guys than Belichick?
Absolutely.
You'd rather have Brian Callahan than Bill Belichick.
I don't want Bill Belichick, who's coming off three really bad seasons, who hasn't been successful since Tom Brady left. No, I don't want him. I would not invest in Belichick. I don't invest in a 72-year-old man
who hasn't won in 3 years.
Okay, so you noted his age.
So you wouldn't
hire Pete Carroll then, because older than Bill.
Yeah. I would hire Pete Carroll under this proviso, that he grooms somebody to take over for him in 3 years. And you've pointed out, John,
that Bill can't
do that. Bill's not good at grooming somebody. His assistants don't go anywhere. So that's why I would lean against. They're different. I think that Carroll wasn't even in any of these conversations. I don't know that he interviewed for a head coaching job.
So the main reason that you don't want Bill Belichick is because he lost the last 3 years?
That he's lost every year since Tom Brady left.
So
he's not won without Tom Brady.
So Bill Belichick without Tom Brady is nobody.
Correct. I don't think he's nobody.
I don't agree with you.
I think he's been very successful.
I don't agree with you.
But the track record...
What did he win without Brady?
No. What if he had... Aaron Rodgers.
He might not have six. He might have a couple.
Yeah.
He might have seven.
Brady's better than Rodgers.
Rodgers is very, very good.
Very good, yes.
Right.
Very good.
But here's the thing about the Atlanta job. You don't have a quarterback down there.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch
you can go out and get.
They're going to get Fields.
You think they're going to get Fields?
You can get Kirk Cousins. You can get Russell Wilson.
By the way, I love Fields. Yeah. I think Fields is great.
Fields would be good in Atlanta.
Yeah.
No, you could draft one of these four quarterbacks coming out.
That's right.
True. So, there are four guys that are probably first round guys this year.
And then there's some talk that they could go 1-2-3. That Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May could go 1-2-3.
Who's the fourth?
The fourth.
No, I don't think it is.
I've seen mock drafts that have Bo Nix in the first round. Right. I've seen mock drafts that have Penix in the first round.
Yeah, so I mean, there's options.
Yeah, there are guys that.
Bo Nix is a very good quarterback,
and he started like 200 college games,
and he's 32 years old, which is fantastic.
What are you, an ageist?
You're getting a veteran.
You are an ageist.
No, I'm not an ageist. I said
Bill Belichick's age.
Yes, on Pete, a winner. No, on Bill, hasn't won without Tom Brady.
Yeah, but you've brought up age in the case of both Bo Nix and Bill Belichick. Well, you are an ageist.
I am not an ageist. Yes, I'm suggesting that Bo Nix being 25 actually helps him at the next
level.
You said
he was 32.
Well, I was joking. It was mockery. By the way, now this text I sent Travis Rogers is really important. I texted him last night randomly. If Raheem Morris leaves, Vic Fangio would be a great defensive coordinator. After that, Vic Fangio was hired by Philly, which takes him off the board. But Vic Fangio would have been a great defensive coordinator for the Rams.
All right, coming up next, 2 o'clock call of the day, 877-710-3776. You can talk to us about anything you want. Michael and Pepe are here. You can ask any of us anything. 877-710-3776. Then... I want to get into your conspiracy thing.
Yes, the Super Bowl conspiracy.
And now, Greg, are there still donuts in the break room?
There are still donuts in the break room because, you know who brought them?
I thought Francisco brought him.
Yeah, Francisco
Pinto was in here yesterday talking to Greg, and because he's one of the great guys of all time.
He is fantastic.
Very nice.
Just don't feed him.
And he is a big eater.
Ooh, is he?
He could eat me under the table.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, when we went to...
48-ounce steaks.
Yeah, when we went to Gus's, I ate 16 pieces of chicken, and Francisco beat me. He ate like 20. But we both share love of food, and so he was in here yesterday for a meeting, and so he gave everybody donuts, so I'm going over there.
Cool.
And then when we come back, 2 o'clock call of the day, then the conspiracy theory thing, and Michael and I have a bone to pick with Pepe Montilla.
With Pepe.
That you're aware of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I know exactly what it is now.
Pepe, do you know why we're mad at you?
I don't know, but you're always mad at me, so that difference doesn't make.
All right. Hey, I want to let everybody know that spots are going super fast for our Pickleball Madness tournament. It is a celebration of pickleball of 710 ESPN. Also happens to be my birthday. Also happens to be the 20th anniversary of the start of Mason and Ireland on 710. It is happening at the Agape Pickleball Center at Miles Square Park in Fountain Valley. Go to ESPNLA.com to sign up with your pickleball teammate. It's $100 a team. Beginner through intermediate level players and co-ed teams are eligible. Grand prize, first place team wins $200. Play against the 710 personalities. Have a lot of fun and frivolity. I'm just reading. Sign up now at ESPNLA.com. In fact, my brother Brian and my nephew Hunter Mashonsky are flying in to play in the tournament as a team. And I think I've seen them play. They got a chance to win. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.